Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Let me see those hands in the air. Hell on the high. Hey, everybody jump. Jump, 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 jump. Everybody jump, 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 jump. Come on, listen. Some of y'all know how to do this. Some of y'all don't.
Hi, so my name is Luca Hein, and while I'm not from Florida, I am someone who went through the gender-affirming care industry as a minor. And a little bit of background about me, I was a teenager with multiple comorbidities and mental health issues who was struggling and was put down this path instead of given the help I actually needed, resulting in the first medical intervention I ever had being a double mastectomy at 16. I was one of the kids that needed a chance to just grow up and get the help I needed. I was one of the kids that needed the adults to step up and do what is right.
See, this is the side that you just don't hear very much. Surgeries or went through these hormone therapies and regret it and feel like they were done a disservice to. Now, I will say what you do hear from is people who have gone through it and appreciate it, okay? And there's no doubt that some do. And there's no doubt that some don't, but that's a side of this that you don't hear. And that's a lot of what this bill is about that Governor DeSantis signed yesterday, is not putting kids in the position to have permanent changes to their body and body chemistry made while they're not yet fully grown and while they're still minors. That's the idea of this bill, is just create some space so that kids can get to adulthood and if they still want to make these choices, if this still makes sense to them as an adult, well, we're going to just make sure they're informed. That's a part of the bill. But, okay, you want to do something very invasive, weird to your body on the basis of your perception of what your gender is, we're not going to stop that. But for kids, we're going to protect kids from this being done.
Children deserve a chance to grow up whole and discover themselves in a way that will not link them to an experimental medical industry for the rest of their lives. I will live with the results of what was done to me for the rest of my life, including all the health issues I deal with because of it. But other kids don't have to now, thanks to what has gone on here in Florida.
And I'm just, look, this topic is so strange to most people when we first had to start thinking about these things. And on the one hand, I very much believe in parental rights. I very much believe in you have to protect the rights of parents to raise their kids in ways you find horrible. You have to. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything. You know, like tolerance doesn't mean anything if it means that you're tolerating the speech of people you like. You know, that's not even tolerance. Tolerance is when you tolerate and you protect the speech of people you dislike their views, okay? Parental rights respect means tolerating parents who make choices for their kids that you despise. I mean, raising a kid as an atheist, okay? I despise that choice. But I'm going to protect that choice because, though I believe it is wrong, it is not wrong to the degree that ought to be legally enforceable based on my views about what your children should be learning, right? Just like, you know, some people think that it's abuse to raise a kid as a Christian. They do. That their view is that telling kids Bible stories is perpetuating, misogynistic, racist mythology about, you know, things that can't be proved that are false. I mean, that's what they believe. And they think it's wrong for me to raise my kids as Christians. And I want them to not interfere with my parenting. And I want me to not interfere with their parenting. That's the idea of parental rights. But there are also limits to that. There are limits to that that come up in terms of exposure of kids to pornography, you know, letting them drink alcohol. And I think in this case, you know, letting kids be protected from even well-meaning parents. And I do think the parents are well-meaning who think that the idea is to perform these surgeries on minors. You hear these terms like a double mastectomy for a 16-year-old, not to prevent cancer, but to put that child's body in alignment with the temporary belief that this person should not have been born a woman? I mean, it's unbelievable that this happens. And again, Luca Hein says,
kids deserve a chance to grow up, and that is what is happening today. It's not about hate. It's about giving kids a chance to grow up whole. Thank you.
And the thing about this is where we find ourselves as a culture. is that if you believe that people shouldn't be doing surgeries on minors to change their sex, okay? If you believe that, you know, people generally speaking shouldn't, for most reasons, marriage is a good thing. They should wait till they're married. They should, you know, men and women should be married. Babies are the natural result of that. And when you have babies, you shouldn't be ending a pregnancy. If you believe any of that stuff, the culture says you're a bigot, you're narrow-minded, you're a homophobe, a transphobe, or whatever you are. They gaslight us into thinking that we're the crazy ones. We're not the crazy ones. We're really not. These are the views that have worked, have made sense, have been effective, have been the kind of the basis of human society for thousands of years. You're the ones raising these outrageously novel, crazy ideas and pretending they're normal. And what humans have always thought about this stuff is the crazy stuff. They're gaslighting, and the culture has bought into this. As the governor said when he was talking about this, he says, you know, we're just trying to create a little bit of space where people can be, you know, raised in what as basically the historic norms.
I feel very strongly as governor, but also just as a dad of a 6, a 5, and a 3-year-old that, you know, we need to let our kids just be kids. And we have a very crazy age that we live in. There's a lot of nonsense that gets floated around. And what we've said in Florida is we are going to remain a refuge of sanity and a citadel of normalcy. And kids should have an upbringing that reflects that.
A refuge of sanity and a citadel of normalcy. That's it. And this is across the board. We'll come back to this in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
All right. At Highway 90 in Woodbine, now the accident's been cleared, but there's heavy debris in the roadway, like liquor bottles, I guess. So use extreme caution driving through that area. There's a structure fire near Osceola Park off Mobile Highway. So watch for emergency crews there as well. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the governor's comments yesterday about several different, and remember, this is the bills that he signed yesterday, things like, you know, adults who want to do transsexual surgeries, they have to be advised of the risks. You can sue doctors later on if you feel like they have done you a disservice. Minors cannot be performed upon. The pronouns, you're not going to do shifting pronouns in the schools. We're not going to do kids at sexualized shows, including drag shows that are sexual. By the way, I'm not entirely on the governor's page on that one. If it's sexual, yes. If it's just a, you know, somebody's wearing the wrong gender clothing, I don't agree with that being a ban. Separate men and women's bathrooms, in principle, agree. I think there are some practical problems with that particular bill. But the idea is that across the board, what the governor and the legislature have said is, look, this is the normal stuff, and we're going to protect this stuff with law. All of the rest of this craziness that you guys have been trying to do for the last couple of years, we're not going to have that here in Florida. That's why it's this across-the-board approach to preventing and solving for these issues. Now, I will say that Randy Fine, who is perhaps one of the most hated by the left legislators in the State House, his way of talking about it, I understand where he's coming from.
The important thing for people to know is there is evil in this world, and we are fighting it here today. And the most important job that I have, the most important job the governor has, is that we are parents of children. And when I try to explain to my 11-year-old the bills that I file in Tallahassee, when I try to explain to my 11-year-old what bottom surgery is and what top surgery is, what adult entertainment is, there's no age-appropriate way to do that.
What he's saying is that he can't even explain to his 11-year-old the stuff that other parts of our culture are telling 11-year-olds are perfectly normal. You cannot have both be in charge. I mean, you really can't. He's exactly right about this.
The fight that we have had here in Florida is about the fundamental nature of childhood itself. Because the other side believes that 8-year-olds should pick their pronouns, that 9-year-olds should read books about sex, that 10-year-olds should be able to take puberty blockers, that 11-year-olds should be able to get experimental drugs, and 12-year-olds should be able to have healthy body parts cut off. In the state of Florida, we have said this is going to stop. And we're going to do it because God does not make mistakes with our children.
437-1620, 437-1620. So that was yesterday, a whole suite of bills being signed by the governor and Randy Fine there, you know, giving his take on it, which, again, adults, it's one thing. Kids, it's a whole different thing. And I just want to say this because I think a lot of times the folks on my side of the perspective don't say this often enough. I think that if you are experiencing the sense that you were born the wrong gender, that must be awful. And I think that if you are a parent of somebody who is going through that, I think you see the pain and you see the frustration and you just don't know what to do. And you how do I handle this? What do I do with this? And then you have this group of medical professionals who come in and say, well, here's the answer. Give in to them and do what they think makes sense. And it's very easy to buy in to the notion that that is the loving thing. That is the, as the label goes, the gender-affirming care. And I just don't think we do anybody favors when we use that kind of language, when we pretend that that's the best solution, especially for minors, and when we don't stand up and say, you know what, maybe when they're adults, okay, but we don't allow the troubled person to decide what is the appropriate permanent solution to their body on the basis of their trouble that they're experiencing right now. 7:21 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
40 days ago, Christians everywhere celebrated Easter Sunday. We rejoiced in our risen Savior. Now it's time to rejoice in our ascended Christ. Today is Ascension Thursday. Acts 1 records that Jesus was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. His ascension was his coronation. It was God the Father saying to his Son, "Job well done." Christ's ascension hollers, "Lucifer, you lose." At his ascension, Jesus' enemies have become his footstool, and now he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Right now, Jesus is praying for the redeemed, and as the master carpenter, he's preparing mansions for his children. On this Ascension Thursday, be sure to take time to read Luke's accounts of Christ's ascension, and let your faith be strengthened by the Word of God.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Ready to save on your energy bill? Compass Solar Energy, Northwest Florida's premier solar company, has been locally owned and operated in Pensacola for over 20 years. They want to help you save money on your energy costs, and they offer free quotes for residential and commercial solar packages. They also have a full service department and full system diagnostics are available, no matter who installed your system. Visit CompassSolar.com for details or find them on Facebook. It's time to start saving on your energy bill with Compass Solar Energy.
Parents usually know if their children will argue over their inheritance, but this can be prevented. I'm Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. No one wants to see their wealth wasted away because of poor planning. I've assisted several clients with estate planning ideas and sometimes have served as trustee or executor upon their death. Give me a call at 497-6167. Armada Advisors is charting a better course.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time. And it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled? Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
You've got mail.
I got one more for you since you were saying how much you missed the days of AOL. All right, you ready for this one?
Right.
This is throwback sound number two.
Oh my gosh, remember that? Get off the phone. I'm trying to find out sports scores. Right? Oh my gosh.
And every what I'm trying to think, because I always misjudge this, and I think my kids won't know something that happened long before they were born, but they do. I mean, they've seen it all on YouTube, right? So they know stuff.
Sure, that's the old phones that you used to have to wind up.
I'm thinking like the 10 and under in the car on the way to school with mom right now is like, what's that sound?
We're like, what's an abacus?
Yes, that's exactly right. All right. Traffic on the fives with Candy.
Woodbine and 90, it's not showing an accident, obviously. The accident has been moved, but heavy debris in the roadway. So certainly watch with that. They say use great caution. I-110 southbound, mile marker 4. That's the exit to Fairfield. Showing an accident, but not a delay, not a roadblock, and a structure fire. This is near Osceola Park off of Mobile Highway. So watch for emergency crews there. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
An Illinois girl that disappeared 6 years ago has now been reunited with her father in North Carolina. Asheville Police Officer Jonathan Brown says a teen girl working at a clothing store in the city spotted Kayla Unbehan last Saturday, recognized the girl who's now 15.
The employee of the store had a personal connection through their childhood.
And the tipster said that the store employee was able to recognize the girl because her case had been featured on Unsolved Mysteries last year. Federal prosecutors say the Air National Guardsman accused of posting classified documents on social media had been repeatedly warned about mishandling those documents. Yeah, in court documents, it says that Jack Teixeira should remain in custody. Prosecutors said despite warnings, he continued posting the documents and bragging about it after being warned twice. And an 1,100-year-old Hebrew Bible up for auction, Andrew, selling for $38 million right now. The former U.S. ambassador to Romania, Alfred Moses, has placed that winning bid. It's a leather-bound, handwritten parchment volume containing a nearly complete Hebrew Bible, and Sotheby's says that if Moses wins the bid, he plans to donate the Bible to a museum in Tel Aviv.
He's just That's so funny, own, it's Moses.
He's buying his own Bible back.
That's right.
I want my Bible back, Bible back, Bible. I'm sorry.
I want my Bible back.
I don't know why.
Leather-bound Bible. Moses leather-bound Bible.
That might be the best thing I've ever heard.
The logical structural chain underneath that joke is weak but funny. David, thanks so much for the update. 727 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, you remember the homeless presentation that Joe Savage came and gave to the joint meeting of the City Council and the County Commission? And what did I say? I said, number one, it was weirdly briefly abrupt. They didn't get to ask questions, which I bet would kind of rankle some of the self-importance of the commissioners and council members who were there. Also, that it was left-leaning. And that would bother particularly some of the county commissioners and then who are Republicans. And then the third thing is that the funding issue of feeling like if we do this to align ourselves with the federal standards and then they're going to give us money, but then we're going to be kind of tied into that relationship and we're going to have to do things we don't like to get the money. Okay.
Correct.
Remember, I said all three of those things about this meeting. All right. Yesterday, Jeff Bergosh, in his coffee with the commissioner, said,
last week I had the opportunity, along with many other elected officials, to attend a 1 hour presentation with no questions, and that ended rather abruptly.
1 point for me, right?
About what we need to do to get maximum federal reimbursement to deal with the topic of homelessness. Dr. Joe Savage gave the presentation. Lots of good information, lots of useful stuff, but frankly, a lot of political ideology mixed in, a lot of rhetoric kind of thrown in there that I didn't necessarily agree with.
2 points for me. Do I know these commissioners? Come on, right?
Everyone's, giving him, a round of applause and thanking him profusely. But I asked him a simple question. I said, what do we do about the 40% or so that are, I'm going to use the word again, intransigent? They're very happy. They're very happy living in a tent, camping in the woods, starting fires, panhandling, engaging in destructive behavior like drug use. And his answer really didn't answer the question. It was more along the lines of, we need better trained people in the field, better caseworkers, more money. I don't know that that's the answer. I just don't think we found the solution.
Yeah, and this is foreseeable too, but I think the better answer for Joe Savage to give is, we're trying to reduce homelessness by 50%. We can work on this 50%. We can't fix the other ones. And I think that'd be a more honest answer, and I would agree with that answer. But then what was the third point? What is the third one? About the funding?
Yes.
There is potential to get more federal resources. That's fine. I mean, I saw this in the school district. You do this, it's a dangling carrot. You implement this policy and you get this money. But sometimes the policy isn't what is needed. And, I've seen that, been there, done that, got the T-shirt.
3 points for me, the trifecta. The hat trick of predictions.
Hey, man, I don't always agree with you, but I do agree with Burgosh.
Oh, there you go.
Just kidding. No, I do. I'm not, not on those
really
points.
Know
no, he's. I know. That's why I said it. But no, and I'm kidding. He's great, and you're great. But no, those are great points.
Yeah, no, and but look. Obviously, those would be the things that folks like Jeff Burgosh, Stephen Barry, I would think probably Robert Bender, Mike Kohler might disagree with. And that's part of the challenge of, you know, trying to work with a federal agency, an interagency organization that is going to be run by Democrats, is we're going to have ideological conflict. And that's going to be one of the questions of whether the county is going to want to participate in the way that the city wants them to participate to get the federal funding. So this is a to be, but you see kind of that response.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden's at his hotel for the night, Japan time, ahead of the G7 Summit of World Leaders tomorrow. He met with Japan's Prime Minister Kishida after arriving in Hiroshima.
We faced one of the most complex environments in recent history, security environments.
There'll be talk about China and Russia's war in Ukraine, where one person's reported killed in a Russian missile strike overnight. Ukraine's military reports shooting down 29 of the 30 missiles fired. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte signs a bill making his state the first to ban the video sharing app TikTok, telling the Fox News Rundown podcast.
There are tools in the toolbox to enforce this ban to make sure foreign adversaries are not monitoring the citizens of Montana.
The ban will be challenged in court as violating free speech rights. TikTok denies any collusion with the Chinese government. The South Carolina House passes a bill to ban most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. The amended bill needs another vote in the state Senate. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 74 right now. It's partly cloudy here in Pensacola. Progress being made towards getting some more affordable housing units here in Escambia County.
We have three houses underway, and they should have poured the slabs this week. They had all the plumbing roughed in at the beginning of the week. They should be pouring the slabs. We've got good weather. We've got seven houses on the street now coming in behind these three.
That's Escambia County Administrator Wes Moreno. He says earlier this year, the Escambia County Commission approved a contract with McDelt LLC to build these homes on several lots near downtown Pensacola. All of those homes part of the county's infill affordable housing program, which was opened up to applications last year. The county also taking part in a pilot program. It's hopefully one we won't have to use, but you never know. The Florida Recovery Obligation Calculation, FROC, as it's known, is a program by Florida Emergency Management. They're rolling it out to make it easier for counties and municipalities to be reimbursed for disaster recovery.
They have come up with a grading system for all the participants to then look at how that we can hopefully get reimbursement quicker when we submit our paperwork. But a big push that they are pushing is that the advancement.
That's emergency manager Travis Tompkins. He says the county's never had to request an advancement in funds. However, depending on the county's rating and risk score, they could be approved for up to an 80% advance. And prior to FROC, the most of Florida County could be advanced was 20% of the total recovery reimbursement. Just hours after the school district fired Superintendent Tim Smith this week, we learned of that the Escambia County School District is now facing a federal lawsuit. This is over the removal of books about race and LGBTQ+ identities. The lawsuit filed by Pen America and publisher Penguin Random House, and it alleges that the district and the board is violating the First Amendment by removing 10 different books from school libraries. The district says they can't comment on the potential pending litigation. The lawsuit saying in each of the 10 cases, the school board voted to remove a book despite a recommendation from the review committee that it was educationally suitable. Former bookkeeper for Santa Rosa County School now being accused of stealing funds from the school that she worked at. 36-year-old Summer Borland facing multiple charges, including fraud and larceny. Gulf Breeze police say they received a report of stolen money on Friday at Gulf Breeze Middle School. After a joint investigation with the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, a warrant was issued this week. Borland arrested yesterday. She's since been released on $15,000 bond. And Governor Ron DeSantis signing several bills yesterday. They were related to sexuality, schools, and gender care for minors. The theme of the signing session was let kids just be kids.
Kids should have an upbringing that reflects that. And I think that there's a lot of emphasis in other parts of the country and our society as a whole to take that away from them. And we're not going to let that happen here in Florida. And today is proof of that.
And one of those laws bans gender surgery and puberty blockers for minors, also allows the state to stop procedures for out-of-state residents, the state also prohibiting schools from designating pronouns for students, and requires people to use the public bathrooms that match their biological sex. It is 735, News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
Okay, taking a look. I-110 southbound at mile marker 4, showing an accident but not showing a roadblock this morning. It looks like the accident on Avalon and San Juan in Milton. The vehicle crash, showing injuries but not showing a slowdown. Looks like that's been moved off to the side as well. And there's a structure fire, so you'll want to watch for emergency crews. This is near Osceola Park, just off Mobile Highway. If you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We're going to be staying warm and humid today with a high near 84 degrees. 40% chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorms, otherwise partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. For Friday, 20% chance of rain in the afternoon, otherwise partly cloudy with a high near 84. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Looks like a few clouds passing by right now. 73 here in Pensacola. 77 in Gulf Breeze and 69 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Jennifer Koshinka with Your Money Now. TJX Companies has raised its annual profit forecast, saying it's benefiting from easing cost pressures, even as consumers turn cautious on their discretionary spending. The TJ Maxx parent also missed first quarter revenue estimates and joined competitor Target in forecasting a downbeat second quarter as inflation forces consumers to rethink discretionary purchases such as furniture and kitchenware. But TJX's gross margin increased as it started to see expenses ease after months of grappling with high costs related to raw materials, labor, and freight. Twitter's power users are still coming to the app, but fewer are posting on it since Elon Musk's acquisition late last year, according to a survey from the Pew Research Center. The survey found the top 20% by tweet volume posted 25% fewer tweets. About 6 in 10 adults who have used Twitter in the past year say they've recently taken breaks from the service. The new data underscore the challenges facing Twitter's incoming CEO. On Wall Street, futures higher. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure, and the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey, so grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
This is Tort Talk with personal injury lawyer Terrence A. Gross.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. In 1986, the Florida Bar limited personal injury contingency fees through trial to 40%. At that time, I thought that was too high. I've now practiced personal injury law in Northwest Florida for over 40 years, and I'm proud to say I've never charged a client 40%.
Tort Talk is brought to you by Terrence A. Gross. Call 434-3333 or check him out at grossandschuster.com.
There are more identity threats than you realize. Even if you monitor your credit, only a little personal info needs to leak out, like your social security number or password.
Or you to become a victim.
LifeLock alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions, but everyone can save up to 25% off their first year with promo code NEWS. Go to LifeLock.com.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season.
News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Extending the hours to 10 p.m. The lights are on, people are there, and you know, it certainly is not a noise issue because you have it's under an interstate.
Yeah, the skaters are less noisy than the cars, so that's not an issue. The question of what should the hours be at the skate park continues to vex a little bit because, you know, it's a good problem to have. People want to use the skate park, and we got the lights on to prevent, you know, bad behavior, vandalism, that kind of stuff. But if you have the lights on, people want to use the park, they're going to use the park, even if the little sign says, please don't. you know, so what do you do about all that? Joining us now, we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Candy.
Good morning. So I'm kind of curious how, if you can quantify for me or give me some kind of a characterization of, has the skate park created problems, had many calls out there, many incidents, or has it basically been, you know, quiet and calm sitting across your front porch?
I'm going to have to go with the quiet and calm. If there's been any problems, they have not been relayed to me, which is a great thing. And there may be some minor issues with parking and things like that. But so far, so good with it. We're just glad to have it. And we've got a place for the folks to go to ride skateboards in the proper place. And I know, you know, in the past, we've had business owners downtown all hours of day and night call us and say there's skateboarders on my property. They're causing criminal mischief. They're scraping up rails and things like that. And we're not having those issues right now.
Oh, so it really has improved public safety downtown because you're not getting problems at the skate park and you're not getting problems at the places where you used to get them, where the skaters were when they didn't have a skate park.
Yeah, so far it's a win-win.
Oh, well, hey, that's fantastic news. All right, 24 hours access it is. I mean, I know you're not advocating, but, like, you know, I can see that value. One of the things I wanted to ask you about is you had a I guess it wasn't your case in the end. It turned out to be an FHP case in the end of it, but there was a pursuit this last week, and the person driving the car wound up crashing into a building. I forget what the street was they were on or where they were, but can you tell us the kind of, you know, what happened? And we'll talk a little bit about chase policy because I know people don't understand this all that well.
Well, earlier in the week, a Mustang was taken by gunpoint, a carjacking at the Whataburger on Gregory Street,
And that was Friday, right? When the carjacking took place, it was Friday?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Okay.
And so on Sunday, the vehicle was spotted on Pace Boulevard. The officer attempted to stop it, and it fled from the officer. And, you know, we have cars flee from us almost on a daily basis. And if it's something, for, you know, traffic related, like running a stop sign or something like that, then we're not going to pursue that vehicle. It's a moving violation. And we're not going to do that. But when you're talking about a forcible felony, that's going to change everything, because if a person will take a car at gunpoint once, they're certainly able to do it again, especially when they know that car is now hot, meaning that the officers know that it's stolen, they're looking for it, so they dump it. And who's to say they might not use that gun on the next carjacking? So that's somebody that's very dangerous, and we need to remove them you know, as quickly as possible. We need to make that arrest.
Do you perceive that the criminals have adapted to the more widely disseminated policy that you don't chase them, and that they're fleeing more because they believe you won't chase them? Because when I was, you know, younger, I guess, you know, the perception was that cops will chase you and they will always, you know, and so there was no advantage to running as a way of using the police's rules against them. Nowadays, I understand why a criminal who pays a little bit of attention to a news show might, you know, hear that, well, you know, they're not going to chase you for minor things, and so they use that as a way to get away. Do you perceive that that has become a problem, that they flee more often because of that?
I believe that's part of the problem, but they need to be careful with that. A lot of things go into consideration when we decide to chase or not chase, and a lot of it is time of day, weather conditions, traffic. So they may have an officer stick with them a little bit longer than they bargained for sometimes. So we have seen an increase since that policy came into effect, but it's all about public safety. That's what we're out there to do, is protect property and people, and it's just not worth it most of the time on these pursuits.
And the basic risk calculation there is, okay, we need to enforce the law, but by chasing, we create a public safety hazard, which can wind up in pedestrians or collisions or whatever. And so unless it's for a forcible felony or some situation where we really believe that somebody's, you know, life or limb is in danger already, then that's why we decline to chase, right?
Absolutely. And it's, you know, this office, we also have to think about the life of the officer too. So
yeah,
there's a number of things that go into it. And this is a decision, you know, whether to pursue or not to pursue, that has to be made in a matter of seconds. And that's made by the officer and the officer supervisor.
Well, and I mean, frankly, like, even though Pace is a wide open road, it's sort of, you know, two lanes and a turn lane and bike lanes and all that, it's also a road where you have a lot of pedestrians. And so I'm imagining that, you know, some roadways are more dangerous to chase on than others, even though they're geared toward racing, so to speak. They're, you know, big and wide open, but there is more likely to be, like Cervantes, there's more likely to be pedestrians even so. And so I can understand why that comes into it. Mike, hang on for just a second. I had one other case I wanted to get to with you. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And we see a structure fire. This looks like near Osceola Park off Mobile Highway. He's cautioned there. Watch for emergency crews. Michigan and Memphis showing an accident, but not a roadblock this morning. 90 in Woodbine. The accident's been cleared. Traffic's moving, but heavy debris in the roadway, so use caution. And I-110 southbound, mile marker 4. That's the Fairfield exit, showing an accident, but not showing a roadblock. If you have traffic tips, text it in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Since that Woodbine and 90 accident involved a spilled, you know, spilled wine bottles out the back of a truck, would we say that they're done with the mopping up phase now?
Nice.
Back to Mike Wood, our public information officer for PPD. We got an object lesson this week in why the now completed second span of the 3 mile bridge is valuable, right?
Yeah, that bridge is a blessing now. I mean, we were able to work that crash scene and clean it up and still had two lanes of traffic flowing. So the old bridge, we would have had to close it. A lot of times we have to close the side that has the crash on it and the other side on the old bridge, so emergency vehicles could get there. And this new bridge has shown already that we're able to keep traffic flowing most of the time. Now, that may not be so if we have a pre-fatal or fatal crash we have to work. We may have to close one side, but it was much nicer to do and to be able to keep traffic flowing a couple of days ago.
Do we have, if there is a situation where it's so bad that you have to actually close the one side, do we have the ability? I assume the answer is no, okay? But do we have the ability to resume temporary two-directional traffic on one span? I assume the answer is no, but you tell me. Is that possible?
Yeah, that would take a lot. That would take a lot of barrels and cones and people coming out. So I don't foresee that happening unless it's going to be closed for a very, very long time. And the way that the scenes are worked, the pre-fatals and fatals are, you know, it's going to be closed, but it's not as long as it used to be. They're able to get those scenes processed and cleaned up pretty quick.
Yeah, and that's what I figured based on the restriping and the, you know, all of the safety issues and just the crossover at the entrance to the bridge and all that. But I just wanted to be sure I wasn't thinking about that the wrong way. You and I always like to kind of end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for us this week?
I do, and it's, you, how many times have we heard, and everybody's heard, there's never a cop around when you want one? Well, overnight, there was, and Officer Abigail Abed was patrolling in the area of M and Gadsden last night when she heard some screaming, and she was approached by a person that said that there was a sexual assault in progress. She was able to quickly locate the female victim, who was partially clothed, and she put her canine on the ground, Canine Jones, and was able to locate the suspect hiding behind a vehicle not too far away. So he was quickly taken into custody, and the female's going to be okay. So that's, you know, it's kind of rare for something like that to happen, but she was in the right place at the right time. So great news from last night. Great job on her and the entire shift.
Wow. Wow, that's horrible and fantastic. I mean, that's, man, that's wow, that's just, I'm speechless. That's amazing. You guys also have this morning coming up at 8:30. You're going to have the memorial service for fallen officers.
Yes, it's at 8:30. We urge people to come out. We're glad to see those that do every year, the families that come out every year to honor those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. And that begins at, here very shortly at 8:30.
And
at
also just a note that because of that ceremony, which always ends with the honor guard shooting off their shotgun rounds, there is a gunshot you will hear somewhere close to 9 o'clock, if I remember correctly. And so don't be surprised by that, and don't report it, because that's a normal thing to have happen. So, Mike Wood, he is Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do, keeping us safe, sir, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
7:50 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are 64, turning 65, I know it's just the rest of you, information for later, but for you, if you're 64, turn 65, you're going to convert to Medicare. And that's going to be different than what you've probably ever done before for health insurance. And it's really easy. But it can seem really hard. It can seem like there's lots of questions and challenges, and it can be overwhelming. Plus, unfortunately, there are folks out there who are probably calling you and sending you letters and can make it seem even more stressful than it needs to be. I got a good friend, Ricky Stewart. I've known her as long as we've lived here. She's such a sweetheart. And her whole family does insurance. This is the one slice of it that she does. And so she will help you get converted over to Medicare. Supplement, Advantage, prescription drugs, do you qualify for Medicaid? Like all of that stuff, she can answer. 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance.
Experience the freedom of PGT Custom windows and doors with one of our best deals ever. With over 7 million units installed and zero reported impact failures, PGT Impact Resistant windows and doors give you confidence in your investment. Now through July 31st, you can earn $35 off every window and $110 off every door from PGT's WindGuard line of products. Reimagine your lifestyle. Go to pgtwindows.com to learn more. That's the freedom of PGT.
Code Ninjas.
What is it?
It's the area's newest learning centers, where kids learn to code while building their own video games. They gain problem solving, critical thinking, and STEM skills in a fun, safe, and inspiring environment. Find out more about Code Ninjas as owner Joe Dawn Brown discusses kid coding and how they can help your kid by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer SHINE counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
There's something new at Peak Boar Imports, and you need to experience it. The Volkswagen 2023 ID.4 EV is in stock and waiting for you to enjoy the smooth, quiet, and impressively powerful ride it offers. If you haven't experienced an EV yet, make sure you stop by and see how the Volkswagen ID.4 EV will absolutely impress even the most discerning drivers. And while you're at Peak Boar Imports, check out the 2023 Taos S, now from $26,226, and the Tiguan S from $28,576, and both are available with a low APR rate of 1.9 for 36 months. The Atlas Cross Sport SE is in stock and priced from $36,161, and it's available with financing at 3.9% for 60 months. It's all new this month at Beadmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Beadmore Imports, New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Prices for tax title and associated dealer fees. APR rates for qualified credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
The best local resource that happens to be entertaining. News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 7:54. Happy Thursday. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Let's go straight into the newsroom for David Wayne with our headlines. David?
Ukraine's military says it shot down 29 of 30 missiles that Russia launched overnight in airstrikes.
Officials calling the aerial assault unprecedented in power and intensity. In Odessa, one civilian was killed. In Kyiv, falling debris causing damage. It's all part of an intensified Russian military strategy, the ninth major aerial blitz this month.
And one person killed in that attack. Today, the second day of jury deliberations in the retrial of former That 70s Show actor Danny Masterson. Masterson accused of raping three women between 2001 and 2003. Those jury deliberations began yesterday. And a 12-year-old boy is about to become the youngest to ever graduate from California's Fullerton College. Clovis Hung is the boy's name, and he's graduating with five associate's degrees this weekend. Again, only 12 years old and planning to go back to school for another one next year. He began studying at the college as a special admit student in 2019. He was only nine back then.
He's how old now?
12.
And he's graduating with five associate's degrees?
5 degrees, yeah.
What's the matter? The kid can't get a BA?
Apparently not.
We're supposed to celebrate somebody who can't stick with a major long enough to get a four-year degree? Really? At 12? How exciting
well,
is this?
Well past time, right?
7:55. David Wayne, thanks so much for the update. Candy's got our traffic on the fives.
All right, taking a look around. East Bay Boulevard and Navarre closed south of Coppell Drive, part of the ongoing drainage improvement project. Accident, I-110 southbound at mile marker 4. That's the exit to Fairfield, and it looks like a it's an accident, not a roadblock. 90 in Woodbine. The accident's been cleared, but heavy debris in the roadway. Accident at Michigan and Memphis, not showing a roadblock. Structure fire, so watch for emergency crews. This is near Osceola Park, right off Mobile Highway. And I'm not showing anything else right now. Now, certainly, if you have a traffic tip, text it in. News Radio 92.3, 437-1620 is the number. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Some interesting notes came out of the press conference with D.C. Reeves the other day that we didn't get a chance to talk about with him in person. One is about the new day-use marina at Community Maritime Park that opens a week from now.
The marina itself will actually open at 6 a.m. on the 25th, so you know, boats can be there that morning if they want, but the official ceremony will be at 3 o'clock. And just as a reminder, this is a free marina, and it's day use only, so it's not for overnight. There will be a gate that will be open and closed at the for the hours. It'll the summer hours will be open at 6 a.m., closed at 10 p.m., and then we'll change those hours. We'll shorten them a little bit once we get past daylight savings time into the fall.
Yeah, so not allowed to use it overnight and free. I particularly think the free part is fantastic, and the fact that it'll, you know, clean out every night, basically.
Ultimately, that was part of the contract or part of the agreement with Fish and Wildlife, was for it to be day use and for it to be free. And there's the limitations of the overnight, not only in that agreement, but with the Army Corps of Engineers. It's not currently permitted for overnight use. So it's a moot point, even if we wanted to consider that.
Yeah, so that's coming up again. That's going to be next week is when that is going to open. So fantastic news, a project that has been, you know, brewing for forever and ever. I mean, goodness, I know construction started with Grover, but I think this was planned even under Ashton Hayward. Like, this is another three-mayor project to finally get to completion. 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3. Did you see the story about Harry and Meghan on a car chase from the paparazzi?
I did.
Or maybe. Right? Like, there's a lot of people saying, I don't know that this even happened. So I have no opinion about it.
He interviewed the driver. He said that they were scared. But also, it's like, don't look at us. Don't look at us.
But here
hey,
we are.
Guys over here. Don't look at us.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They sure
Nobody
do draw,
cares.
They sure do draw a lot of attention from people trying to stay out of the spotlight. I would say it that way. Yeah, there's definitely
a
mixture
of messages
there. And all
of the British people hate him.
Yeah.
That's, I mean,
they're not
just
popular
in Britain,
over there.
But I mean, people over here that are British hate him.
Did you hear this about The Weeknd? The singer,
the artist
Weeknd.
Formerly known as The
Weeknd.
Yeah,
yeah. The artist formerly known as Weeknd, and there's only two E's in that, by the way, W-E-E-K-N-D, in case you didn't know. He's now abandoning his identity and re-embracing his actual identity. He's going back to his roots, Abel Tesfaye.
So he went from a they to a he.
I guess, yeah. So
to a what?
He's Abel Tesfaye is his real name, and now he's going to go by that. He's not sure what he's going to do with music. He's going to keep the old brand, I guess. Okay. Just, you know, okay, whatever. Like, you've created this massively successful brand. Now you're like, I just feel too constrained by it.
Yeah, work for Prince.
Yeah, well, did it. I mean, yeah. Who is he? Is he the symbol? Is he Prince? Who is he? I don't know.